good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, victors!
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Carnegie, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. My name is Distant Thunder, and my colonized name and taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and Twin City Native American issues and events, Wendy. And as we know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues, and lateral violence is everywhere.
It is everywhere, isn't it? This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and they'll answer any of your COVID-19 questions. So give them a call.
I have a really good feeling this is going to be our third show in a row that's going to be really good. So Pini Gigi Wendy for being with Ogamana.
Here we go.
And we have today's Friday, so we're going to have State Senator Mary Kunish on. Mm-hmm. And we have a guest. Her name's Waz, because I can't say her native name, but she's with and maybe Ogama can, but she's with Land Recovery, and her story is so, about the organization she's with, is so compelling. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait for the show to get going. So why don't we hand it over to Ogama with the news?
Hi, bonjour, everybody. This is Ogama Ginuikwe from Native Roots Radio, and I just want to talk about some of the Stop Line 3 stuff that's happening today. So students from all over the Twin Cities at universities like McAllister and Gustavus rallied with the Stop the Money Pipeline group to ask their colleges to divest and defund from Line 3. So I'm really, really proud of our youth for getting out there and talking about this and making their voices heard to the large, you know, educational giants who are perpetuating this violence against Native people while they simultaneously teach concepts like global citizenship and read land acknowledgments. They kind of took over Twitter today at McAllister, and they had the hashtag #HeyMac going. And I'm just going to read a couple of my favorite ones. Hashtag #HeyMac, and this is from Adam at Ontological Bomb. We don't have time for committees to delay action for months while treaty lands are being bulldozed. It's past time to divest and to hashtag defund Line 3. Another one at KDMC1221 said, I'm not a math major, but something about giving land acknowledgments while still funding Line 3 doesn't add up. Do better, hashtag #HeyMac. Another one at JuliaCello716 said, we are demanding you divest from Enbridge. The time for action is now. Quote, just because you're doing the wrong thing for this long doesn't mean you have to keep doing it, end quote. It's...
That's awesome.
The tweets under #HeyMac today were amazing, and I'm so proud and so happy to see so many young people taking action. And really, we talked about this earlier this week, right, Robert? The young people are going to save us, right? That's what I
always say. And Generation Z is going to save our butt, because they see that, you know, just for instance, like Wendy and I, when we were young, we could have paid for college working a part-time job. And they see things like that. They see the inequities, and they have the internet, so they can see what the true history is all over Turtle Island. So we're really, Wendy and I, we're really proud of these MAC students and college students.
I love the fact that we're in walking distance from that college, and that we live in the atmosphere that we do, like a young college kind of town, and we have all these hip, cool kids around us.
I fit right in.
We both fit right in.
That's right.
Absolutely. Even though
I'm further north than you guys, so it's a little bit less hip where I'm at. I tell Robert about the craziness up here where I'm at all the time.
Well, it's the occupied north. We like to call it the deep north, but it's the occupied north.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a spam call here right during the show.
Geez.
Let me mute
that ringer there. I should mute mine too. See, mine's not muted. All right, there we go.
Yeah, I'm on. All right, so then the next thing I want to touch base on is I want to reach out and send some prayers up and give some acknowledgement for Tanya Abed, who I believe is now on day 20 or 21 of her hunger strike to stop line three. So that's a really powerful sacrifice that she's making right now to bring awareness and, you know, make sure if you're putting out prayers and tobacco that you're touching base and praying for and with Tanya for the water and to stop line three. That's a really big thing. So
yeah, I follow her. I follow her Facebook Live up there in the deep north in Palisade and occupied north. So it's just,
well, hopefully she's, of course, she's probably drinking at least water because you need at least water.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw her last time I was up at the new camp.
I can't go more than 6 hours without eating. I can't even imagine doing something like that. So really.
Yeah. Power to
it takes an amazing level of strength, that's for sure. So for everybody who's planning to go do something to stop line three this weekend, on Saturday in Palisade at 11 a.m. is the line three defendant solidarity in the Sugar Bush, and that is going to have lots of really cool, awesome screen printing, and I think I heard rumor of jingle dress dances, and they've started a maple tapping camp. And then there was just an update today that said the Water Protector Center is muddy due to the spring thaw. So make sure to wear appropriate footwear if you're going up to that tomorrow. And then also tomorrow.
Got to bring your boots.
I don't have rain boots.
You do.
Oh, okay.
You do. I'll get them for you. Thank All right, they're Wendy in the closet. I'll dust them all for you.
Oh, good.
And then also tomorrow in Minneapolis, there's going to be the Debway Truth Rally at the Governor's Mansion, where they're going to be bringing, I believe, a petition signed by people asking the governor, Tim Walz, to stop line three due to the recent news of the sex trafficking that we all knew was going to happen surrounding line three. So that's another event to check out if you're in the Twin Cities area tomorrow. And then on Sunday, there's the Support East Phillips Rally Against Environmental Racism. That's going to be Sunday the 7th from 1 to 3 at Sabo Bridge, which I don't live in the Twin Cities, so I had to do a little research on it. But I guess it was formerly known as the Midtown Greenway Pedestrian Bridge.
Oh.
So that is where that is, and that's Sunday 1 to 3. And it is to join community members and neighbors in action against the city's plan for a roof depot site. Free parking is available at Smiley's Clinic, which I'm assuming is in the area, and masks and social distancing are required. That is a big thing.
A lot of good positive actions going on, so that's awesome. And if anybody wants to call Tim Walz, just give him a call. You can leave him a message, 651-201-3400.
Well, I'll be going up to Palisade and covering that for Native Roots Radio, and hopefully I'll see Ogama up there. I'm not sure if she's got other things going on, pressing things with her schedule, but I'm excited to go up there and support that action.
Good. I'll pack your lunch, babe.
And find me my rain boots.
I'll get you rain boots. And Ogama, if you are going, let Robert know, because I have some nails I'll send up for you.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Okay.
The last thing I want to touch on today before we run out of time is that Monday, March 8th is International Women's Day. It is also my mother's birthday, so happy early birthday to my mom.
Nice.
And it is also the beginning of the Derek Chauvin trial for the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis last summer. So on Monday, March 8th, there's going to be an event led by Feminists Deliver, and it's called Leading Transformative Changes as Acts of Resistance. It is online from 5 to 6:30 p.m., and you can go to their website and to their Facebook to get involved. It's an event that's going to be talking about how women have stepped up to the plate when it comes to these issues of racial and environmental justice, and how they have been making change by running for seats in political offices, creating marches, and making blockades against colonial priorities. So always really excited to see some feminist allies in action.
Perfect. Hey, Pini Gigi Ogama for the news and all you do for Native Roots Radio and all you do for our people. I really appreciate it. Up next, we're going to have State Senator Mary Kunish, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Wow. Wendy, today is Friday, and what does that mean?
You know, even though I'm retired, Friday just still has a good feel to it. It really does. I have to admit it.
That's good.
Because well, people say to me, oh, you're retired. Every day's the same. But it's not.
Okay.
It's
really good. Not. That's good to know if I ever retire.
Okay.
Hey, so today's Friday, though, and it's State Senator Mary Kunish Day, and we always love to have her on. And, you know, Mary, I just got to say, our next guest is somebody that we're going to have on. It's kind of an emergency. And what they're doing, and I think you know this group, I can't say the word, but it's land recovery people, and they're trying to get bills run through. And I know last time it went through, you supported, and they only have till the 12th. So we're trying to blast their information out as much as we can. So,
good.
You know, we always love your we love your segments, and really, so I'm sorry that we're cutting you off a little bit today.
That's okay. I'll give it up for the good of the people.
Right on.
It's always about the good of the people.
That's right on. Yeah. So, hey, how are you doing, and what's happening here?
Oh, I'm actually doing really well. I just love the more sunlight and the warmer weather. I find I just... like between all my Zoom meetings, I just have to get outside for a little bit, and boy, does that change a person's disposition by getting that fresh air and exercise and the extended sunlight. And we're really super busy. You at the Capitol, you mentioned that date of March 12th, which is really a unique day because it's our first deadline at the Capitol for this session to not only get the bills in, get them edited to the way that we want them, and then jacketed. Well, that they're about this long. They're like a legal size, and the Senate's jackets, the top page are yellow, and then in the House they're green. So we call them yellow jackets or green jackets. And we had to get our yellow jackets in and then dropped and introduced on the floor of the Senate. And then the next thing to do is to get them heard in a committee. So it's a mad dash to the committee chairs to ask them to hear our bills and explain why it's so important. You keep your fingers crossed that they're going to hear your bills. Because if they don't get heard by the first deadline, and these are policy bills, if policy bills don't get heard by the 12th, then they're kind of a DOA for the session. And so you really have to work those bills. And the lobbyists, you know, the folks that are oftentimes behind these bills working for special interests, they're furiously working. And, of course, this session, it's even more complicated by the fact that lobbyists are not allowed in the building. They are now, but they have to go through a whole rigmarole. So a lot of it is not done like that face-to-face, catch you in the hall, can I get 10 minutes of your time? And usually there are all kinds of events going on in the evenings, and you run into to folks then, and you kind of work the system. But we aren't doing that this year, of course. And so it's a horse of a different color. So we're all frantically trying to get our bills in by the 12th, get them heard in a committee, at least one committee. And then we'll start working on our policy or our finance bills, anything that has to do with money. And that will be the next deadline. So that's kind of what we've been doing this week.
Yeah. Mary, myself, you know, I lobby for the Humane Society of the United States. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader. And next week I have Zoom meetings with Dave Pinto and Aaron Murphy, both on HIV policies that we want to get passed for my HIV advocacy, and also animal bills. So I hear you, because I would walk through the halls and I would grab, you know, Dave Pinto and, you know, and ask them, can I just have 5 seconds? Here's some paperwork I have. Can I talk to you about this particular bill? So you're saying it exactly the way it is.
Yeah.
Or was.
Right. Yeah.
Or was. Yeah. Hopefully next year it'll be somewhat back to normal. But, you know, in the meantime, we just do the best that we can with what we have and go from there.
Mm-hmm. And I know people are going to be calling on you also. I'm sure that you will have some Zoom meetings between the 15th and 19th for some humane bills that we're trying to get through. So,
well, wasn't Mary a speaker at one year?
She was at our Humane Lobby Day. Yeah. Mary came in and spoke to the group of people we had.
Yeah,
I was
able to carry a bill for you one year.
Do you remember, Wendy?
I don't remember. There's so many. There's four that we're presenting this year.
Was it the one about?
It was about cremation.
Yes, the gas. And you know what? We're ending the gas chambers.
Yes.
So we're still we're presenting that one again. It got stuck.
Well, I know that you all can't see this, but I just came across this today.
Oh, look at that.
You see that? It's a little paw print.
Yeah.
And in 2019, I was awarded that for the Animal Humane Society Advocate. So,
wow.
Yes. That's so funny. I just came across it today.
That's cool.
And so those are the things that we've been working on for a number of years, and I hope that one of these times we get it done. It's so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Well,
yeah.
I've always said you and Wendy should have your own animal show, a podcast. That'd be fabulous.
You know, a lot of people say to me though too, Wendy, you know, there's a lot of important things going on in the world. What do you care about a gas chamber for? And what I kind of say to people is it's humanity and kindness, and it just gives your society a humane feel. And that's where it begins. It begins at the simplest thing as humanity and caring and having empathy for people and animals who don't have a voice.
It's so true. And any of us that have pets, and I think that probably tripled and quadrupled over the COVID period, they become a loved family member. They have their own personalities. They have their own rhythm. They have their own space within a family. And I know you've lost, beloved pets, dogs, and I have too. And they really do leave a hole just like any human being. And they're creature of ours, you know, in this world that we loved and took care of. And so no matter what, death should be a respectful way no matter what. So I think it's really important that we continue to advocate in the way. And thank you for all your advocacy, Wendy.
Oh,
you guys, in the native way, and it's Wendy's segment is about our sacred animals. I mean, every animal is sacred to Native Americans. I mean, chiefs are named after dogs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Crow Dog and all those great chiefs. And
wolves and buffaloes and turtles and, yeah.
So it fits right in there with what we're trying to promote here on Native Roots Radio. And it's just, you know, we're the front line of our sacred animals and also clean water and clean air and all these things that you know, that are sacred to our people. We're the last line now.
Yep. That's so true. So those are the kind of things that have been keeping me busy along the way.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And it's too bad that, you know, you can't see your constituents in person and it's through a phone call and Zoom. It kind of... maybe next year. We'll all just going to keep our fingers crossed for next year.
Well, we're always excited, you guys, Mary, is that, you know, we have Dr. Stately on Mondays, and he's really excited about the one-shot Johnson. And so maybe, you know.
Johnson & Johnson.
Right. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can move on this a little quicker than we thought just maybe a couple weeks ago.
I hope so. I'm in that kind of in between stage, and I haven't gotten my vaccine. I did sign up on the vaccine dashboard, I think they called it, put in all my information and wait for them to get my number to be called, I guess. But I am hoping now with this new vaccine that we'll be moving along so much quicker. And it's only one, so you don't have to go back again. Mm-hmm. And I it's kind of funny. I was talking to my daughter today. I of course, I'm going to mention I'm going to be a grandmother. And my daughter went and had her first ultrasound and sent us the picture. And I asked her, you know, what is the recommendation for pregnant women? Should they take the vaccination or not? And I think they are saying if you're, as the mother, as the pregnant mother, if you're comfortable with it, we will give you that vaccination. And I said, well, wait and get the Johnson & Johnson. And she's like, oh, you just said that because Johnson & Johnson does baby stuff. I hope your numbers come up quickly, everyone.
Congratulations. Wow. And I just read a study today that vaccinated moms who had, they found the vaccine and the antibodies in breast milk. So it will be passed on to the baby. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And also, I got to say, our segment,
two for one.
Our segment's up, but I just have to remind you, Mary, that Robert's a strong name for a boy. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I'll let her know.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for stopping in and all you do for our community and the state of Minnesota and especially your district. Pinigigi, Mary Kunish.
Wopalatanka to you too.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be right back after the short break.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Wendy, we're really excited to have this guest on, and we were excited to have State Senator Mary Kunish on, and now we're going to talk a little bit about land recovery, and I want to bring this guest on and have her introduce herself and the importance of this bill that's coming up and a little history about what's going on, because I didn't know anything about this, and then I just found out this past week, and it's just a mind-blowing kind of thing going on
Definitely. Her name is Waz, and she goes by Waz, and I want her to know that yesterday I did send an email to both my House Representative Dave Pinto and my State Senator Erin Murphy about this.
Wow. Hey, let's grab her on. Hey, welcome, Waz, and tell us your name and the name of the group that we're talking about.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. I'm Wazia Tain, which is a Dakota name and translates into English as Woman of the North. And I come from the place we call Pejihutazizik Apimokoche, or land where they dig for yellow medicine. And in English, that's known as the Upper Sioux Reservation in southwestern Minnesota. But tonight I'm here on behalf of Mokoche Ikikchupi, which is the name of our nonprofit. I'm executive director of the organization right now, and we translate that name as land recovery, and we really consider it to be a reparative justice project as a way for Ocheti, Shakoni, Seven Campfires people, the Dakota, Lakota, and Nakota to return to this part of our Minnesota homeland.
Wow, that's fabulous. Let's talk about this project you started in 2009, I believe, and where it's at today, and the call to action we need to really talk about, too.
Right. So in 2009, my book, What Does Justice Look Like, had been out about a year, and I was meeting with a group of settler allies in the Twin Cities metro area, and we were talking about, what does justice look like? And everyone was in agreement that land is central to justice issues for Indigenous peoples across the board, but especially for Dakota people here in Minnesota, given Minnesota's history of genocide and ethnic cleansing and outright land theft. So, at the time, they had said, have you ever thought about buying back land? And of course, we have, and our reservation communities have purchased back land. but from a justice perspective, that's not very satisfying when we have to buy back the land that was stolen from us in the first place using our own resources. And I said, well, what if we raise money for that from settlers? Would that constitute justice? And we said, yeah, that'll work. And so they organized an event. At the time, they called it an evening of reparations, and it was a silent auction and fundraising dinner. And then they donated the money to our land project. And we were under a different nonprofit at that time, and we separated and established Mokoche Kichupi as a separate nonprofit to devote all of our energy to this land project. So that's how we got started. And 10 years later, we were able to purchase our first parcel of land in Granite Falls, Minnesota, 21 acres, where we started construction on 3 earth lodges. And it's one of our traditional forms of housing. But the last time our people actually lived in earth lodges would have been around the Mille Lacs area around the 1750s. So we're recovering an ancient tradition. One that our people would have used regularly, but have gone out of disuse in the period of invasion and colonization.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I've seen pictures on your website, and you've got to a point where you started building structures there. And tell my audience what happened.
Well, in September of 2019, we were issued a stop work order by the City of Granite Falls, the building inspector working for the city, because we were out of compliance with Minnesota State Fire and Building Codes. And that set into motion all kinds of activities on our part, things that we never thought we would have to do. From our perspective, we see this as us just practicing our culture as being Dakota. And what we realized is that in this context, that is criminalized under today's laws. So we ended up meeting with the City of Granite Falls, and we weren't sure how that was going to go initially. But by the end of our meeting, they were persuaded that as Dakota people, we should have a right to build according to our cultural traditions, and they wanted to support us. At the same time, they felt like their hands were tied because they're, as a city government, they're the enforcers of Minnesota State Building and Fire Codes, and they would be held liable if they did not enforce the codes. So they agreed to work with us to try to find a legislative solution. And that's where we are right now, where we're in our second year trying to get a bill passed in the Minnesota legislature that would exempt Indigenous people, or I should say provide a waiver process for Indigenous people to the state building and fire codes when we're building our traditional structures. And that would allow us to build them and to inhabit them permanently because we're definitely looking at permanent structures at our site.
I know as a urban Indian, I was so excited to see what you're doing up there and the concept. I hope our audience is really understanding that for somebody like me to go there, it would be a spiritual journey for me. You know, and in a religious experience in my Ho-Chunk way.
For sure. Yeah, I think that, you know, so my husband and I, he's from the Lake Traverse Reservation in South Dakota, and he and I back in 2017 started building an earth lodge experimenting with this idea. We're covering these waves on the Lake Traverse Reservation, and we moved in September of 2018, I guess it was. And when the Earth Lodge was first finished and we started spending time in there, you really feel like you're entering the womb of Mother Earth. It's a very different feeling, a very calming feeling, and you feel so protected and safe. It's like a safe haven, and immediately it became a gathering place for ceremony, for passing down traditional knowledge, for singing and drumming. For games, our traditional games, and just for, you know, eating and being with one another. And everyone who comes talks about that welcoming feeling inside the Earth Lodge because you're connected to the Earth.
Right. You know, can you give the number of the bill and so our audience can call their representatives tonight and leave a message about that? There's two numbers for the bill. Could you give our audience that?
Absolutely. On the House side, it's HS 1042. And on the Senate side, it's SF 1087. And so we would really appreciate if people would call their representatives, but also right now our bills are sitting in committees on both the Senate and the House side. And on the House side, it's the Labor, Industry, Veterans, and Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee, which I know is a mouthful. Mm-hmm. But if people could contact those members and encourage them to you know, vote yes to support our bill and to make sure it gets through that committee process in a timely manner. And on the Senate side, it's currently in the Labor and Industry Policy Committee meeting, but we have a hearing scheduled on Wednesday, and we believe we may have the support in that committee, but then it has to go to a different committee, the Judiciary and Public Safety, Finance, and Policy Committee. And so if your listeners could contact the people on that Judiciary Committee on the Senate side and let them know the bill is coming their way and encourage them to support it.
You know, we had Holly Elk on yesterday, and she's said this a couple times, and it really struck me. This is a peaceful way of resistance for our people, and I think that's just a beautiful way to put it, you know. And, I don't know. I love what you guys are doing up there, and I'm glad that we can amplify it a little bit here on Native Roots Radio.
Oh, we sure appreciate that.
Yeah, and I got to tell our audience, too, on Facebook, we have a presentation that you did along with a couple other people that would be great to watch, too. It's really informative, and you have a, you know, when you say slideshow, you go, oh, slideshow. But you had a great slideshow, PowerPoint, and informative. And for somebody that, like me, I feel like I'm plugged in. I learned a lot from your presentation.
Excellent. Well, and I think the visuals make such a difference because people don't really know what an Earth Lodge looks like or what it might feel like inside. And so there are photos in there so you can get a sense of that, a feel for that. And I think that not just sparks a lot of interest and curiosity, but also instills a certain amount of confidence in the integrity of these structures and the importance of us being able to continue these practices.
Well, again, I know we're getting to the final countdown. Mary Kunish talked about that, too, in her segment about the 12th. So please, everybody, contact the representatives and for Bill HS 1042 and SF 1087. And I really appreciate you coming on and speaking your truth.
Oh, thank you so much. And I just want to say, too, that Senator Kunish is one of the authors of the bill on the Senate side. So we're very appreciative of their support.
Yeah. And one of our persons that's a guest many times on our show, and we produce a show for her, Heather Keeler, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She's the lead author on the House side.
So that's awesome. So Pinigigi, thank you, Waz, for coming on. And let's stay in touch. We really want to amplify what you're doing up there because it really is a peaceful way of resistance.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hi, Juoni. Wow, Wendy, that was just awesome.
Yeah, really awesome. If you get a chance, go onto the website and take a look at the pictures. And it does look like a very peaceful, wonderful place that I would like to visit myself. So
yeah, so hopefully we can pop it up here on our Facebook. There's I know we have the last couple days. So it's a very, very important thing. And, you know, and just in contact here in the last 10 seconds, it's just like, as Native Americans, and not until 1978 were we able to perform our own religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And on the website and the pages that we have, it has language that you could just copy and paste and send your representative and your senator very easy email. You don't have to write it yourself. It's already written. You just have to plug in your name and your address and you're good to go.
Perfect. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakan Jahadi. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Anine. I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. All right, we got our three howls here.
Pinagigi. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many, many, many years. And, you know, this is our sacred animal section, and I really always look forward to this, and I can kick back and just listen to you. So welcome, Wendy, and tell us your name.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you for that beautiful, thoughtful name. I'm a humane policy volunteer for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level. But I also love to watch the needed transformational changes happening for all animals all over the United States and in the world. So it's really, really good. Today's Friday, and I usually do a fluff piece for Friday because, you know, it's Friday.
And it's fluffy.
But I kind of have a little story that might have a dark side to it. But I think it's important to bring it up because it was it was posted yesterday, March 4th, and it was put on the Humane World, which is Kitty Block's blog. And the article was written by Kitty Block and Sarah Edmondson. And Sarah Edmondson is the president of the, hold on, I have it right here. She is the president of the Humane Society Legislative Fund. So I just want to say that too. But I have a story here about a grizzly bear that lives in the Yellowstone Park. And the grizzly bear, scientists named this grizzly bear 399. I wish she really had a better name, but she's called 399. But she's also often called the most famous grizzly bear. And she has a base of wildlife watchers that numbers in the hundreds of thousands. So each year, dozens of paparazzi attempt to record her, right? They want to see her when she wakes up in the morning, come out of her den, what she does all day long, what happens to her. She's a very, very popular bear in Yellowstone Park. Has cubs, you know, every couple of years, and they thousands of people come to the area just to watch her and to take pictures and to see her, and it's really, really something else. What I want to talk about is she even has two books, entire books devoted to her. That's how popular this bear is. And you know what, Robert? When you retire and we get our little RV and we go to the parks, that's something I would like to see. I would like to see these wild animals in their natural habitat just live and, you know, maybe take some pictures and stuff.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. But I'm going to read this here. This week, 399, as I said, she was named by scientists who study grizzly bears, made news again when a photographer spoke to the media about how he documented her in a rare photograph. And I have it. You can see the photograph on this blog, taken just this past June, that shows her protecting her cubs after another bear got too close for comfort. The photo shows 399 standing on her hind legs while her four cubs hide behind her. The photographer said, "My adrenaline was going when I saw her stand up because I knew this was a once-in-a-lifetime shot." And the photographer's name is Kunal Singh, and he told this to the Southwest News Service. Grizzly's 399 popularity really just shows how much Americans love grizzly bears. While sighting a bear like her, one of the world's oldest grizzlies, is truly a once-in-a-lifetime event, many Americans flock to the Grand Teton. Is it Teton, okay, in Yellowstone National Parks each year for a rare glimpse of any grizzly bear. Those who do return home with a photograph and memories, they will cherish them for a lifetime. But here's the dark side, Robert, and this is what I want to bring up, because unfortunately, it appears that some lawmakers and appointed officials in the states these parks are home to would rather offer these wonderful animals to trophy hunters shopping for grizzly bear heads and hides for their living rooms.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to say it again. Montana and Wyoming. That's what's happening. Unfortunately, it appears that some lawmakers and appointed officials in these state parks are home to who would rather offer these wonderful animals to trophy hunters shopping for grizzly bear heads and hides for their living rooms. Isn't that a horrible thing?
That's sickening. And, you know, when I went right, the first time you said that, it went right. This is 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And are we still thinking this way? I mean, I understand hunting for food, mm-hmm. for sacred things,
yep.
and giving back to the community, which Native Americans do.
Absolutely.
But I don't understand going out there. Put that in a person perspective. Go kill a person
mm-hmm.
and put their head on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can.
It would literally break my heart if a trophy hunter went out and killed 399.
Right.
It would kill many. It would break the hearts of thousands of people who have been following her and watching her and seeing her with her cubs, you know, year after year.
And when you and Mary were talking earlier, Mary Kunish, state senator, about and our dogs being our relatives,
mm-hmm.
all these animals have souls. Mm-hmm. All these animals do, and personalities, and it would be like having somebody come after our dogs.
Mm-hmm. And shoot our dog.
Or
yeah.
our cat.
Mm-hmm. So listen, if you live in Montana, if you live in Wyoming, if you know somebody who lives in those places, contact them and ask them to contact their legislators and the people who want to see the bears shot up by trophy hunters. It's estimated that there are fewer than 1,800 grizzly bears now surviving in the lower 48 states, including the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, which spans Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Although their numbers have slowly increased since they were listed under the Endangered Species Act, they have far from recovered. Grizzly bears are notoriously slow to reproduce, and the threats they face, mostly from us humans, causes have only increased in recent years. These animals are also grappling with dwindling food resources and wildlife managers who unfairly want to just get rid of them. And they perceive the threats to cattle. That's another reason. And I talk about this all the time, yeah. that the Cattle Association, you know, if a bear, you know, kills one cow, that's it. They go and they make all these laws, and the lawmakers are siding with the cattle men instead of the wildlife and protecting the wildlife as it should be.
Well, the wildlife doesn't pay off senators or taxes.
Exactly. So let's all protect Grizzly 399 and her cubs. There's a wonderful picture of her on A Humane World. That's Kitty Block's blog. So check that out. And you could just subscribe to the blog and get updates on all our animals. And it's really a wonderful thing to do.
Wow. I mean, thank you again, Peeny Geegee Wendy, for bringing up this information that's very important that I don't see anybody else talking about in a mm-hmm. consistent basis like you do
yeah.
and this show does. So it's a beautiful thing. Also, I would like to say lateral violence is violence.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that, and maybe someday we'll have a show on it. And I'd like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. The ground on which you stand on is sacred ground and is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.